Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Let's begin front and center this morning with Britain's exit from the European Union. It looks like it's going to happen one way or the other, and sooner than later. So let's get an update, a Brexit refresher this morning from a former London resident and global markets expert in our thought leader conversation this morning. David Fowler, SVP of Capital Markets at Associated Bank, is with us. David, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
I want to begin by letting people get to know you a little bit. Tell us about what you do and how you're involved at Associated Bank.
I am a part of a group within the capital markets team that basically manages the risk that the bank has and our clients have to the market. We basically provide pricing to our advisors who talk to the clients. And then if transactions occur, we basically take those transactions and put them into the market and basically move the risk from our clients to the general market.
Global markets.
Across currencies, interest rates, and also commodity derivatives.
And so that kind of goes to our conversation today. We wanted to focus in on Brexit.
Yeah.
If you can't tell from David's voice, he has some background on this, some expertise. You lived in London for a long time.
I did. I lived in London for 7 years, and I come from Ireland originally, so we're kind of on the hot seat.
Right. So I'm going to ask the question everybody's is thinking, what in the heck is going on?
You know, you can't write this stuff. Yeah. It is just every day is one kind of more bizarre step to the next. But I think what we are getting to is a situation where the end is getting near. The European Union doesn't really want to see this extend beyond October 31st unless there's a really, really strong reason for doing so. The UK has said that they don't want to extend beyond October 31st. So now it really is a situation where we have to try to find how it's going to happen and is there a way that it can happen without being complete chaos, which a no-deal Brexit probably would bring.
When we last left all the players in this story, a law had just been passed that told the Prime Minister, no deal. You have to have a deal to go out of the European Union. He says he's not going to follow that law. How can that be?
Well, I think what he's doing is they've said that they will follow it to the letter of the law. As we all know, the letter of the law may be very different to the spirit of the law. One of the aspects that people look at right now is that if there, you know, is a deal, no deal, even more importantly, a deal. So if, for example, we have a situation where the government cannot negotiate anything different with the British government, with the European Union, I beg your pardon, between now and the 17th of October. One of the questions that comes up is, could the British government appoint someone to the European Council of Ministers, which they have not done, but they have a right to do? Could that person then go to that council meeting? And even if the other 27 members of the European Union were open to an extension, vote against it? That would be following the spirit of the law. To an extent, it would certainly be following the letter of the law. But it would also mean that Britain would be on a course for a no-deal Brexit, which is what the Conservative Party, as is government, state they want. And that, I think, is the big question for the rest of the European Union.
Is there a chance that Parliament may be able to stop some of this before it happens again? We heard this week the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom having a session talking about whether or not Boris Johnson may have lied to the Queen about some of this. Could the court step in and stop what we're seeing?
What the court is trying to do right now is to see whether they can basically stop this proroguing of Parliament. So for some of your listeners, may not be familiar with that term. It's quite common that when a new government comes in the UK, Parliament basically closes for a couple of days. And that's what proroguing is. And really what happens then is that any bill that hasn't been passed dies. And the government then basically has a chance to set out its priorities, which will be delivered by the Queen in a thing called the Queen's Speech. Normally, this proroguing lasts kind of a couple of days to a week. We haven't seen one that's lasted, potentially lasting this long, since Charles I. if Parliament can come back and if the government loses at the Supreme Court, which we may know Friday or maybe early next week, then Parliament has a chance to do something. Right now, they have a chance to do nothing because there is no Parliament. And that's going to be the big hope for the kind of rebel alliance, so to speak, in the opposition, is that they can come back to Parliament and try to add more and more layers of complexity to the October 31st situation and tie Boris Johnson's hands even more in order to avoid them kind of slipping through and going through with a hard Brexit by default.
Yeah, and a side conflict of this story, a side bar story, if you will, is just the idea that Boris Johnson may have lied to the Queen about something.
Which is, this is huge. You know, it's the particularly for a Conservative Prime Minister, for any Prime Minister, but for the Conservative Party in particular, because they are the royalists. And, you know, while people in, you know, lots of countries would look on the Queen as being, you know, a nice, you know, dear old lady who everybody loves, she's also the head of state. And it's a really important situation that the Privy Council, which is three members of the government, when they go to the Queen and tell her, this is what we think you should do, she has to be able to believe that they are giving her true and fair advice. And, you know, if it's shown that this wasn't the case, this is a constitutional crisis in a country that doesn't have a written constitution.
Yeah. So, and Boris Johnson could be out at that point.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's been so much said about whether or not Britain is ready for the exit from the European Union. One example, a story today, is that retailers are questioning whether or not there's going to be enough fresh food, fresh groceries.
Yeah.
If there's a hard exit, if there's a no deal Brexit, the government says, oh, yeah, don't worry. We have plenty of things stockpiled. There's going to be plenty of access. But the grocery industry there says, no, that's not true at all. The question of whether or not people are getting the real story about what's going to happen.
Well, as you know, last week a report was released, a report called Operation Yellowhammer, which had been kept kind of secret by the government. And this was the report that was written by the senior civil servants as to what would happen in a hard Brexit. And that was, the results of that were absolutely, you know, beyond scary. And we have to remember that in the UK, like in many countries, you know, supply chains are designed to work in, you know, kind of normal situations. So it's quite common for lettuce to be grown in northern Spain that will be in a supermarket in the UK in a day, like 24 hours, 36 hours later. They're expecting queues at Dover, which is one of the main import, which will become one of the main import ports. The queues there could be a week, could be a week and a half. They don't really know. They've talked about blocking off one of the main motorways and using it as a car park for trucks.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I think the trouble is that no one knows how bad this can be because this is, it's like starting a new country. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a country that has no trade links with anybody, has, you know, it will basically have to be self-sufficient probably for a month, maybe longer,
yeah,
until a lot of this stuff gets sorted out.
Investors in this country are watching this pretty closely as well. Talk to us a little bit about the exposure that investors here are facing and what the global repercussions might be of a hard exit and the problems that might ensue.
Well, I think you're going to see a couple, like right now, foreign direct investment into the UK is down because of uncertainty. And I think a hard Brexit will only increase that uncertainty. For people who have, like, there are, you know, if you're an overseas investor into the UK, certainly a lot of people are looking at asset prices being depressed and probably even more depressed after a hard Brexit when reflected back into their home currency. So if you were a US investor looking to buy assets in the UK, given where sterling dollar is right now at about 125, a hard Brexit, we could be looking at 110. You know, that's made those assets in dollar terms, you know, roughly 15% cheaper just because of that. So will there be some opportunities? Absolutely. And certainly, I think there are a lot of people on the sidelines waiting for that. If everything goes, you know, smoothly and there is a deal, I think asset prices will remain a little bit offered, only because we still have, we don't have the kind of chaos uncertainty, but we still have quite a lot of uncertainty as to how the UK is going to basically move forward during the transition period into become what they're going to become. Are they going to become part of the common customs unit? Are they going to be completely independent? What's going to happen? And that will depend a lot. That will influence asset prices a lot.
I suppose the silver lining to this is that Britain was a country unto its own before the European Union, right? So they've done it before. They have that experience, hopefully, that maybe they can fall back on.
Although that was quite a long time.
Yeah.
You know, 1973 is a long time.
Lots has changed since then.
Lots have changed. Yeah. And, you know, it also, you know, one of the things they're looking at is trying to revive kind of the Commonwealth, which may or may not be a great idea, but people should remember that right now the half of UK exports go to the European Union. So where are you going to fill that hole? You know, because certainly the other 27 members are going to be looking to fill that hole mm-hmm. that Britain leaves. And, you know, and I would think there will be a significant amount of import substitution.
You mentioned the sidelines. Is that the play here? Is it? Do you think more people should stay on the sidelines on this?
I think, you know, if I was an exporter to the UK from the US, I would be adopting a situation where if I could lock in a reasonable margin with current exchange rates, I would certainly lock in half my risk. And I think I would wait to see what happens. And to be honest with you, if I was an importer, I would do exactly the same. Because in reality, for all of these people, you know, their focus, their expertise is in making or transacting in their product, not as foreign exchange traders. So, you know, I think the advice I give now is the advice I would always give. You know, if you can make your margin, certainly hedge half and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, David, while you're here today, I wanted to ask you, too, about the other big story, and that's the impact of what's happening in Saudi Arabia with the oil markets globally. It seems like it's settling down a little bit, but we've seen sort of a vulnerability that we thought perhaps would have been taken care of by Saudi Arabia protecting these oil fields. What's the global effects, after effects of what we've seen happen there?
Well, you know, as you say, on Saturday night, I went out and filled my car because I reckon, you know, gasoline prices are going up. And certainly on Sunday, it looked, you know, terrible. 5% of world supply is going to be offline for a while. And what we saw was by last night, you know, basically everything's back up. Mm-hmm. I think it showed two things, really. One is that no matter how protected countries have for these kind of very important installations, you know, they're still vulnerable. The supply of crude globally is much more diversified than it used to be. And particularly with the U.S. now being actually one of the largest, if not the largest producer of crude, for U.S. consumers, this would have been, I think, a little blip and you would have seen a little pain at the petrol pump. But after that, it would probably, within the next couple of weeks, it would have calmed down anyway. We've just seen that kind of calming down period shorten up. But overall, I think that crude oil is going to remain kind of in this kind of $50 to $70 range. There's not really that much around, I think, that's going to change that. Certainly, anytime there is a little kind of a perk up, we're going to see producers in the U.S., particularly frackers, coming in and trying to push out as much as they can.
And the unknown being what happens if there's some future conflict in that region.
Exactly. And that's always the unknown. I think we're better off than we were in the past because there's greater diversity of supply.
Yeah.
And I think that's helping. But anytime a tanker is attacked, anytime a facility is attacked, we're going to see prices spike. It's just the gut reaction that we always get.
David, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one conversation if they want?
Well, I'm always available at our trading desk number at Associated Bank, and that number is 866-524-8836. Again, that's 866-524-8836. Or you could always email me at david.faller, and that's F-A-L-L-E-R, at associatedbank.com.
It was nice meeting you. A great conversation. Come back and see us again.
I'd love to.
David Fowler, a Senior Vice President, Capital Markets at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation this morning. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page and follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. Also, head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership. You can hear more conversations and meet more of our thought leaders there.